Thank you, Thigh Master.
All right, this is Pure Decking. I think it's show number 265 for Thursday, June 8th, 2017. I'm Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like heavy drinking, more heavy drinking, and oh yeah, heavy drinking. Tonight, I'm heavily drinking bourbon, specifically some Jim Beam Devil's Cut, because it's getting harder to find around here. It's weird. The smaller bottles, like, because I don't want to buy a gallon at once of Red Stag, I can't find it anywhere. It's gone.
Why not?
Because I'll drink it, like, all at once. It's how I moderate, is, you know, I buy the small bottles so that I don't drink the entire thing in an evening.
If you drink the entire thing, it's not a gallon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep the small bottles and you fill them up with the gallon bottle that you keep locked up in your gun cabinet.
But you see, I have access to the gun cabinet, so I'm like, oh yeah, there's some in there, and I'll go get more.
And then you'll have a gun.
And then I'll have a gun.
Fox, and you'll go get more booze. Gin and
tonic. So what?
I am drinking a gin and tonic.
Excellent, excellent. Fancy gin and tonic, or just a, you know, what kind of gin?
Right now it's some Frey gin. It's out of a local distillery that's... It's around here. They've just started releasing their gin this past year.
That's a fancy gin.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty fancy. It's pretty damn tasty, too.
Nice.
If you get a chance, try Corsair. It's brewed down the street from my place and pretty good. Well, distilled. I'm sorry. Brewed is for beer.
Yeah.
But pretty good.
How much RAM do you have to order to get the... get along with it?
It really is Corsair, but it's not the memory maker.
Damn.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome package deal.
You know, it's actually funny because, you know, I did the tour with Madman of the distillery a while back. And who else was there? Laser went there, and we had a few others with us.
Static.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Static was there, too. Yeah. He's easy to forget. He kind of hides out in the corner, doesn't say much. I mean,
not until we got to the tasting at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. He was pretty happy then. I'm actually using my Corsair Distillery mug, because it was full of bourbon. Now it's not.
Did you get the pint glass, too? Because nothing says I'm going to die like a pint glass full of bourbon.
Hey, the liver is evil and must be punished.
The liver, the mind, the memory, all of them are evil and must be punished.
Also, yes.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Guinness Blonde.
Nice. Peppermint white chocolate melted in a cup. Fancy. Fancy. Pot infused peppermint. All right, Psychos, this is just for
smoke
you.
Smoke weed every day.
There you go.
that nectar hemp ale.
So, anyways, I probably should have put more bourbon in this glass. It was only
full.
Does
that get you jittery and stoned?
I don't know. I had a guy at work telling me that usually the stuff, when you make it into food, it actually, he said it hits him harder.
Oh, yeah, it does. You can OD on pot by eating it.
Well, OD's a strong word.
No, we've had children die. Actually charged in my state. Yeah, you can die.
All right. Well.
Well, if you're 60 pounds or less, I don't think I can OD on pot.
Well, the guy who was talking about certainly couldn't, and he was making sure we all knew where he was going for vacation next week, so because he was pretty happy about going to Colorado. So, anyways, it's like, well, we know what he's doing. So, not that we had any doubt beforehand. That's not the point. Brain fart. No real station news other than as much as I wish I could be improving stuff for the station, I just haven't had the
time, energy, or inclination.
The word is probably motivation, but yeah, that. So, as much as I want to, it's like I want to, but I get home and I really just don't want to stare at a screen anymore. You notice I haven't been on TeamSpeak much either, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? I'm just, I need a break. I need to do something else. And, yeah, lately it's been camping equipment of all things. I don't, you know, that's like, ooh, folding saw. Awesome.
So. Summer's here. Time to get the hell out and go pretend to be homeless for a weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. I need to get some more trips together, you know, camping trips together, and I haven't done any lately. I had a failed attempt at a solo trip a while back, but I got sick and decided to stay with the hell with it, because when you're on a solo trip and you're feeling like shit, then it's like, you know what, fuck it, there's no reason to hang out of here. I've got a bed like 45 minutes from here. So.
Yeah, I can drink bourbon on my own floor.
Pretty much. So... anyways, where were we? Right, story, lead story. This is from the BBC. Madman found this a little moment ago for us, because I've been slacking on the show notes. Uber has obtained rape victims' medical records. An Uber executive obtained the medical records of a woman who said was raped by the driver of a taxi app firm in India, according to the report. Eric Alexander, who ran Uber's business in Asia, is said to have shared the records with the company's chief executive, Travis Kanalik, over a year ago. Uber confirmed to the BBC that Mr. Alexander no longer works for the firm, but offered no further comment. Technology news site Recode said Mr. Alexander was fired only after the publication contradicted the company about the story. It was, as well as Mr. Kendrick, the records were seen by the company's senior vice president, M.O. Michael. Recode's report detailed how Uber was reportedly considering the prospect the rape claim was concocted by the rival Indian ride-sharing company Ola as part of a smear campaign. On Thursday, Ola told the BBC's Shipla Kanan that the allegations were despicable. It is a shame that the privacy and morals of a woman have to be questioned in an attempt to trivialize a horrific crime, a spokesperson for Ola said in an email. It's despicable that anybody can even conceive in an attempt to malign competition using this as an opportunity. If this report were even remotely true, it is an all-time low on morality. And this is coming from somebody in India who they are fine with scamming people. Like, all-time low of morality and a reflection of the very character of the organization.
How can she rip?
So, to be fair, I'm not being racist. I'm being countryist. Is that? Yeah, I'm not sure what the proper term here. Bigoted is definitely the right word, but it's more specific than that. It's specifically the people who call my phone at least once a day trying to tell me I have a virus. Culturalist? Yeah, I can see culturalist. Let's see. In December 2014, a 26-year-old Delhi woman was raped by Uber driver Shiv Kumar Yadav. Yadav was sentenced to life in prison. At the time, Uber said sexual assault is a terrible crime and we're pleased he has been up and brought to justice, adding it had improved security due to lessons we learned from this awful case. But the ride-sharing service was consequently banned from operating in Delhi. The ban was then lifted in 2015. Behind the scenes, Uber executives reportedly doubted the authenticity. I have been drinking tonight. The authenticity of the woman's claim and questioned whether Ola, an Uber competitor in India, was behind the incident as part of a sabotage attempt. As well as the criminal case, the woman sued Uber, and it was settled out of court. So, yeah, the story here is that a couple of years ago, an Uber driver raped one of his passengers. So I'd say that's a one-star rating. And, one-star rating and a bolt gun to the head. I think that's a fair response. Is India one of the places where they've outlawed pepper spray? I know Sweden has, because they were going to prosecute some chick who was about to get raped and defended herself.
I don't believe so, but depending on what part of India you're in, it's kind of divided amongst Hindus, the very modern and actually very nice Muslims, and some crazy people. The crazy people up north mostly would require 7 witnesses to confirm that the lady was actually raped, so she'd have to have been raped in an Uber van while she was ride-sharing.
God. So, first and foremost, what happened to the woman is terrible, obviously. And I am a strong advocate for concealed carry for women. If somebody's about to rape you, kill their ass dead. Shoot them. That is why concealed carry exists. Or pepper spray, or, you know, really, pepper spray is not the way to go. Bear Guard I suggest the big can, a Bear Guard, you know, the thing that'll shoot 30 feet. Just go straight for that. Or, you know, if you're in a pinch, oven cleaner. That stuff burns like hell if you get it in your eyes. I'd say that's a...
says it will blind you.
Yeah. You know what? I make that joke. I have a family member who somebody was trying to break into their house one night, and they don't own any weapons. They don't have any guns or, you know, they're not very physically capable of defending themselves. Oven cleaner. That's what they grabbed. And I was sitting there going, oh, fuck! Because I was imagining getting sprayed in the face with oven cleaner. But you know what? If you're breaking into somebody's house or you're raping your Uber passengers, yeah. Whatever you can do to defend yourself, whatever you can do to hurt your assailant, I have no qualms with shooting people who are attempting to kill, rape, hurt you. Shoot them, mace them in the face. You know, stab them in the face with a spork if it's all you got. But, yeah, I'm a strong advocate of defending yourself. But that point aside, Uber then decided that, oh, no, this is a smear campaign, and actually went and tried, somehow got this. That's the question. How the hell did Uber get this woman's records?
$25.
They had a virus on their Windows computer machine.
Oh, God.
No. They went to the police department and said, I have $25, American. I need to buy a report.
Yeah,
it
you're
is kind
wrong.
Of corrupt. I mean, they're the world's largest democracy. They're getting better. Most of their government employees have two jobs and don't always show up to their government job because it doesn't pay them. I think $25 can get you a police record.
Okay. So, yeah, I think what happened to the woman's horrible.
I think it's terrible that came out that it was a smear campaign. They would know whether or not it was one of their employees. Well, contractors, whatever the fuck they call them.
Well, Uber is like, anybody can download Uber and be a driver, so I don't see why Uber's so worried about it, because I don't think anybody would have blamed Uber for this.
I don't think anyone would have blamed Uber, but it's more than just downloading their app. They do know exactly who you are.
Oh, yeah, you got to give them financial information and all that stuff so you can get paid for you know, doing the driving.
Not just to get paid, but you also need to provide the insurance information for your car. They do a car inspection. It can't be more than so many years old in the U.S.
Oh, have you done it?
No, but a lot of people I work with actually Uber, and they also do Lyft. Lyft pays better.
Oh.
And treats their employees a bit better. Now, Uber didn't crap on the people I know that do it. They actually, whenever something big happens, like in Kentucky with the Kentucky Derby,
yeah,
Uber actually called for all of their employees in the area to show up so that they could have enough people around the Derby to do lifts. They provided food, gave them bonuses, some okay, cool stuff. But to actually work for them, they do a car inspection. They see you approximately once, and a lot of them seeing you can be done over the internet, such as, here's a copy of my license, here's a copy of everything, and then you show up to whatever mechanic they have in your area, and they'll do a car inspection. So I don't think it would be hard for someone who wanted to do some fake credentials to do it, but you would have to be able to fake some credentials to be anonymous.
Okay, fair enough. So, but I mean, again, I don't think anybody was going to blame Uber because an Uber driver did something horrible. I mean, how many Walmart employees have done something horrible or robbed somebody or, I don't know, took a shit in one of the cripple mobiles?
The cripples shit in the cripple mobiles. I've seen it. But yeah, with this one, especially with all of them being subcontractors, I wouldn't have blamed Uber, but I also wouldn't blame a taxi company so long as they fired the guy and cooperated with the cops completely.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm going to blame Uber for is saying that it was a smear campaign.
Yeah,
that's them that's them lying. It's showing their integrity. They want money more than they want a good business plan or good business model.
And that's my point. I you know, they were going out of their way. They got this woman's, you know, police record. They were ready to blame it on this local Indian company. They had all this shit ready to go for something I don't think very many people were going to blame them for. It's like, methinks thou dost protest too much, right? I mean, is there something else here?
I do think that their board of directors or their home office in the States did the right thing by just axing the guy at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, he might not have known about it, but he may have. I don't know if he actually got it or if it was one of his underlings. But either way, you have to show strong resolve that there was a fuck-up and management needs to be rearranged.
So, I don't know. Fox, what do you think, man?
I don't know, like, it's fairly vague on, you know, the whole thing. It does say it's like a part of the latest in the series of a bunch of high-profile scandals generally affecting Uber's reputation. So, like, I don't know if, like, there are more...
In India. There have been some people claiming sexual harassment on the part of some of the bigwigs at Uber.
Hmm.
And then the feminazis are saying there's not enough chicks in high corporate positions, but they say that about every company.
Yeah.
So again, it comes back to my point that, you know, Uber was totally ready to go out of their way to blame this on a smear campaign, blame this on another company for something I don't think a lot of people were really going to try to blame them for.
Well, not if they handled it correctly. They should have come out straightforward and said, a driver did something horrible.
They did,
canned his
they?
Ass and helped out with prosecution if they could.
Oh, not careful, Psychro Sims fighting words.
Oh, Uber CEO Dan Nutty to Trump too. Okay, so that's another reason everyone hates him. He was also on an advisory board, but he resigned that.
Yeah. So, all right, that's next story. Next story is from WRAL.com. WRAL. Carrie, this is from Carrie, North Carolina, and I hate the way these articles are written, but it's a funny story. Would you want a private conversation with your spouse recorded and sent to somebody without your knowledge?
Yep, that's why I talk in front of Siri all the time.
A Carrie man says it happened to him, and he's pointing the finger at his Amazon Echo in Alexa's voice command system. Rob Singpour reached out to Five on Your Side after a recent story about the increase in so-called connected homes. Our insurance agent called me and said, "Hey, Rob, I think that Alexa was listening to something and sent a message that you probably didn't want me to hear," he said. Singpour, S-I-G-N-O-R-E, Singpour? Singpour has three Echoes in his home, and they control many functions in his house, from door locks to lights in the garage and even the thermostat. Messaging and phone calls are some of the newer features added to Alexa's repertoire, and they supposedly only work between the Echo owners and an individual's phone contacts. Luckily, Sangor says the 20-second message Alexa sent to his insurance agent was harmless. "I'm okay with some cutting-edge technology, but this was really a huge privacy violation," he said. Then why did you put these always-listening microphones in your home? It caught a humorous conversation, but it could have really picked up any conversation that we didn't want other people to hear. It just blew my mind that without knowing I asked to send it, nor did it verify that I wanted to send it. It just sent a message. The only way to disable it never tells us what the message was. The only way to disable Alexa's messaging feature is to call Amazon. A company spokeswoman told Five on Your Side they haven't had any similar complaints. Alexa is only working for the wait word, and then Alexa send a message to and their name. Amazon spokeswoman Rachel Haas said. Sangor says he didn't know what triggered his message fiasco, but he wanted to get the word out to warn others. Breathlessly,
I wanted to be on the news.
It was pandelirium. Alexa sent a message about me wanting to do my wife in the butt.
It's extremely convenient, and we do love it, but we are certainly concerned about the security risks and want other people to know as well, he said. Amazon said Alexa can be muted, which will make it stop listening, but it doesn't disable the messaging or call feature. Wait a minute. will make it stop listening, but that doesn't disable the messaging or call feature. So if you mute it and it's not listening, but it will still call, how does that work?
Alexis, call so-and-so. And then they can't hear what you're saying?
It's like, no, we're totally trolling the White House. Alexa, call Trump.
Well, it's better than like the 5-year-old like asking it to play some Tickle Tickle video and it starts looking up lesbian porn.
That never happens.
Have you not seen that video?
Oh, I've seen that video.
I don't know if I want to.
Security experts have talked to Five on your side, previously flagged concerns with connected devices questioning security because they market it so quickly. Yeah, they are probably subject to fuck it, ship it. But the thing is, okay, they tell you what these things do. They are constantly listening. They are always on. It's sort of like your cell phone if you install Facebook. They're always listening to you. So, you know, so obviously anybody who's ever messed around with these digital assistants, they don't always get the words right. So he said something close enough for it to identify a phone call. Or like Fox said, I wanted to be on the news and, you know, just made some shit up. But I don't know, man. It's kind of in the no-duh territory for me. It really is. And I'm really just reading the story so I can make fun of the guy.
Yeah, pretty much. This guy sounds like kind of an idiot. Hey, I've got all these things that are always listening, put them in my house. My God, it recorded me.
It's like, so, you know, if you're okay with, you know, a little bit of the cutting edge technology, why'd you buy 3 of them? Like, I can see buying one. I even thought about buying one to fuck around with and, you know, see if I can, like, you know, open it up and solder a slide switch into it somewhere so, you know, you can turn it off when you're not using it. But then I realized I have a cell phone. If I really want, you know, everything I say recorded, all I have to do is install the right app.
Yeah.
So
I want to be able to buy bulk toilet paper from the shitter everywhere I shit.
Alexa, I'm out of toilet paper.
Send the drones. Send the drones now.
Oh, fuck. I can just see it too. The drone busts through the screen on your window.
Hopefully the same one the cat already broke, so I don't have to buy 2 of the fuckers.
All I can hear is it playing the theme from Stripes.
I was actually thinking the theme from the A-Team, but that's just me. Can you imagine that's what I want to do. I want to make a toilet paper delivery drone that is playing the theme from a random 80s TV show as it comes in and delivers the toilet paper to you.
No, Airwolf, Stripes, or A-Team, I think, would be the only 3 appropriate.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck. The I Need a Hero song. Fuck, I forget who sung that.
Oh, yeah. Too bad we don't have the internet at our disposal or anything.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, if only we had this large database, I could just query and you know.
MASH? But suicide is painless. No, I'm shitting. I don't want to die. Aneurysms happen on the toilet. We're not playing MASH.
Oh, it's holding out for a hero, and it was Bonnie Tyler. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Yeah, that would be good. Heroes delivers the toilet paper.
How many places could you go and just like, you know, like Alexa or OK Google or any of these other fucking always listening things, you know, text mom, I fucked the dog, OK send.
So anybody listening to this at home on their speaker, preferably on their Alexa device, if you have an Amazon Echo and you're listening on speakers, you should know by now that that's not a great idea, especially after the Burger King fiasco.
Oh,
but it
no.
will explain why you ordered 5 pounds of peanut butter last week on Amazon Echo.
Box.
Public Amazon, access order still the 50 exists. Gallon drum of lube. Send okay.
We need to support an NPR program and just have that as our message. Amazon Echo. Mom, I just fucked my dog, send.
And then just hang up the phone, because you don't care, just as long as it goes out over the TV.
Yep. Next telethon, that's happening. It's worth them having my information and $10.
All right, next one up is from Ars Technica. Internet cameras have hard-coded passwords that can't be changed. Where's the thing? Yeah, that's not going to get old. Security cameras manufactured by China-based Foscam are vulnerable to remote takeover hacks that allow hackers to view video feeds, download stored files, and possibly compromise other devices connected to the local network. That's according to a 12-page report released Wednesday by the security firm F-Secure. Researchers at F-Secure documented 18 vulnerabilities that the manufacturer has yet to fix, despite being alerted to them several months ago. So they ran Nessus against the thing. And all of the flaws were confirmed. Okay, I'm probably downplaying what they did. But anyways, all the flaws were confirmed in a camera marketed under the Opticam i5 HD brand. A smaller number of the vulnerabilities were also found on the Foscam C2. The report said the weaknesses are likely to exist in many other camera models Foscam manufactures and sells under other brand names. F-Secure researchers wrote, the sheer number of vulnerabilities offers an attacker multiple avenues into compromising the device. Among the discovered vulnerabilities are insecure default credentials and hard-coded credentials, both of which make it trivial for an attacker to gain unauthorized access. Other vulnerabilities allow for remote command injection by the attacker. World-writable files and directories allow attacker to modify the code and gain root privileges. Hidden telnet functionality. Telnet. God. That's that. Fuck it, ship it. We'll do it live. Why is telnet still a thing? Hidden telnet
functionality. Why is faxing still a thing? But there it is.
Yeah, there it is. All right. No, faxing is a fancy way to do email today. I don't know why, but it is. Hidden telnet functionality allows an attacker to use telnet to discover additional vulnerabilities in the device and within the surrounding network. In addition, the device's firewall doesn't actually behave as a firewall, but it also discloses information about the validity of credentials. Password wrong. Try again and change these digits. Fuck. So they're saying it affects a wide variety of devices, most likely because they all run variations on the same firmware. Anyone who's bought multiple copies of different Chinese hardware will recognize this, especially if you're into 3D printing. A lot of that stuff, you know, it tends to come with variations of the same. Anyways, point aside, yeah, so they've got a list here. Charon, Thompson, 7Lynx, Opticam, Netis, Turbo X, Novoto, Ambient Cam, Next, Technax, QCam, LView, Imbode, and Saab. All of them are... So people who are running one of the devices should strongly consider running them inside a dedicated local network that doesn't have access to any other connected devices and cannot be reached from the internet.
So, it's good to air gap your security cameras?
Well, apparently your security camera... Okay. Most of these security cameras, they're going to have a low-rent ARM board on it with the quickest possible firmware that they can put together on it. You know, they're just taking some standard stock Linux image generally, putting just enough software to make the camera work, and shipping it. And it's Chinese throwaway brands. Like, they don't give a fuck about destroying a brand name, right? So they'll just take a brand, run it into the ground until they stop selling on it, make a new brand, and move on. And all they're changing is the little sticker they stick on the side of the camera. It's the same camera. That's why I listed out like 15 brand names there of different cameras, right? But it's not just cameras. This goes for a lot of this Internet of Things crap. It's where, you know, you've got a cheap device, you can get it off Amazon, you can get it off, you know, eBay. These things are, you know, 10, 15, 20 bucks, 30 bucks. And the firmware on them is absolute garbage. You know, they're obviously not bothering to fix issues. They're probably using old Linux images. They've got hard-coded credentials in it. And, you know, the short version is the manufacturers probably don't give a shit. They probably really just don't care. They're in it to sell a product and move on, and if that means that they, you know, sell 100,000, then come up with a new brand name because nobody's going to buy under the old brand name, well, fuck, it's the internet. You can register a new domain for 10 bucks, move on with life, and call it done. So, you know, they probably even pointed to the same damn website. So, I'm not saying don't buy the cheap Chinese crap. I'm saying just be aware that it's cheap Chinese crap and that, you know, you're going to get what you're paying for. And You know, it's probably a really bad idea to put IP cameras straight up on the internet anyways. VPNs exist. They're not that hard. Use them.
But then we can't watch drafts at 4 in the morning.
I honestly don't have that much interest in watching drafts at 4 in the morning. But a lot of people put these things in their bedrooms. So just, you know, there's that. I'm sure you could probably run entire porn sites based off hacking into people's security cameras and clever editing. So... Hey, Fox, do you have anything on this before I move on?
Yeah, I'm just looking through the IP cam web database, and there's someone's got it on their printhead or their 3D printer, their backyard. There's somebody's desk. Close up view of some papers. It looks like a living room, front entryway, garage. Yeah, they're all easily found on the internet because they're wide open and unsecured.
Yep. So
I can watch your house.
See, it's crowdsourcing. We're crowdsourcing security. We're just going to put the cameras out there for everyone to see. So, you know, hopefully somebody will call the police when your house is getting broken into, right?
Yeah. Hey, one of my favorite streams, their house is getting broken into right now.
I don't know where they live, but it's on the internet.
Yeah. We're in Japan's watching a herd of cows.
So here's the question. Here's the real question. If you could identify the physical location of where some of these cameras are, which might be a trick, might not, depends on what the camera's pointed at, right? Could you SWAT the location, like call in a bomb threat or something, so you can see all the police come in and swarm?
Yes.
Like, well, we've called in the bomb threat, but there's nothing out here but a herd of cows. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say things like that, you know, give people bad ideas. But I'm all
it's
about
a wonderful idea. It's just not a wonderful idea we'll do ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. You know, anytime I can encourage poor behavior in others, I
for your own entertainment.
Well, absolutely. You know, if you're gonna SWAT one of these cameras, record it so we can put it on YouTube later, right? So you know, make you some ad money off that while you're at it. Anyways, you do the work, you should get paid for it, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you figure out where one of these cameras are and it's like hard. Fuck, you deserve your ad revenue for that. And again, this is also where the clever editing comes into play, so they don't see the hour you're sitting there waiting for the police to show up.
Yeah.
All right. Next article is from HongKongFP.com. China uncovers massive underground network of Apple employees selling customers' personal data. Chinese authorities have uncovered a massive underground operation run by Apple employees selling computer and phones users' personal data. 22 people have been detained on suspicion of infringing individuals' privacy and illegally obtaining their digital personal information, according to a statement Wednesday from local police in a southern Zhejiang province. Of the 22 suspects, 20 were Apple employees who allegedly used the company's internal computer systems to gather names, phone numbers, Apple IDs, and other data, which they sold as part of a scam worth more than 50 million yuan, or about, you know, $70 million. But what?
20 bucks.
20 bucks, yeah, we'll put 20 bucks. The statement did not specify whether the data belonged to Chinese or foreign Apple customers. Following months of investigation, the statement said, well, the Chinese police were the ones interested, and it's always probably Chinese citizens, because they generally don't give a fuck if you're hacking Americans from China. Sorry, guys, but it's usually the truth. They usually say, not our problem. And, you know, to be fair, it's kind of not their problem, but, I mean, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, I kind of wish you could get them to quit it. So, anyways, following months of investigation, the statement said the police across more than four provinces, Guangdong, Zhejiang, Zhejiang, and Fujian.
Zhentai.
I'm not going to apologize for bad pronunciation. I have no idea how to actually say those names. Apprehended the suspects over the weekend, seizing their criminal tools and dismantling their online network. The suspects, who worked in direct marketing and outsourcing for Apple in China, allegedly charged between 10 yuan and 180 yuan, so $1.50 to $26.50, for pieces of the illegally extracted data. The sale of personal information is common in China, which implemented on June 1st a controversial new cyber law aimed at protecting the country's networks and private user information. In December, an investigation into the by the Southern Metropolis Daily newspaper exposed a black market for private data gathered from police and government databases. So yeah, it's not just the iPhones. It's the police and government databases are also floating around in China. Reporters successfully obtained a trove of material on one colleague, including flight history, hotel checkouts, property holdings, in exchange for 700 won or about $100. Damn, they got his hotel schedule. That's that's funny. So, yeah,
you know, I'm just kind of hoping that you still have that that Chinese class that's using this show to learn the English language, and they actually get to like laugh at our horrible like pronunciations of shit.
I hope so too. I hope somebody is taking enjoyment in the fact that I have no idea how to say these Chinese names. And I'm perfectly willing to admit that. I'm not like NPR, who we're going to say it wrong and pretend we're correct. No. Chai Zan is the official pronunciation. We have decreed it. We are NPR. Fuck off. I know I'm not saying it right. I'm just going to say, guys, I'm sorry. I have no idea how to say this. This Indian guy, his name is now Bob. We're calling him Bob. Get Sean Spicer to help. Yeah, hey, Sean, welcome to the show. That'll end well. Did they fire him yet?
No.
No, I thought for some reason I was thinking they fired him. I don't know. Oh, anyways, it's hard to tell. They make shit up half the time anyways. So, next article is from the BBC, and again, Madman sent me this one. Scam baiters get a kick out of conning the con artists. Every year, tens of thousands of people are conned by online scammers. But it is not only the authorities taking action. A network of tech-savvy volunteers is also working to expose them. We waste scammers' time, we waste their resources, and we make them believe that they are not as good as they think they are. Jill, not her real name, explained to the BBC's Victoria Derbyshire's program. She is part of a global network of so-called scam baiters who spend their evenings trying to unearth online con artists by pretending to fall for their tricks. The ruses can range from emails saying the recipients have won the lottery to long-lost relatives who have left them an inheritance. Scammers are always going to be out there, but we can take them down a peg and take a victim away from them anytime we can. We're doing something good, Jill adds. I think they're doing something good. Yeah, they're fucking with them. That's the best thing to do. Fuck with them and laugh at them until they decide they're not going to do it anymore. One of the main techniques, explains Wayne, a scam baiter who often works with Jill, is by leaking scammers' details in their conversation scripts online. The aim is for these to filter through search engine results so potential victims will be alerted if they type in the scammer's name. Wayne says police and other authorities use the data too. I'm sure they do. I mean, fuck, anytime you can figure out stuff on this, right? The scam baiters said that they do not earn a penny from their work and that they have other reasons for taking on the con artists. One man from the U.S. who wished to remain anonymous wanted to turn the tables after his mother was caught up in a grandparent scam and came close to losing $5,000. Yeah, that would have sucked. You know what? I actually do have some family experience with this. My grandmother, who recently passed away a couple of years back, somebody called her pretending, you know, they had gotten my dad's information on Facebook and was pretending to be a doctor at a hospital in London, was trying to get her to wire money to get my dad home, basically, thinking he was injured and then couldn't come to the phone, couldn't talk. And she was so upset by everything going on. My mom couldn't talk her down. We couldn't talk her down. She was just so worked up because she thought her son was grievously hurt in some weird part of the world. And it wasn't until we could get a hold of him at work and get him to call her from work that she calmed down and realized it was a scam. So, you know, the financial damages are bad enough, especially if you can get, you know, because they'll take, you know, several thousand dollars from these people if they can. But, I mean, they're causing severe emotional trauma to elderly people who are generally not well equipped to deal with it.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
I mean, it, my grandmother already had a lot of medical problems at the time, and when nobody could get her to calm down, you know, there was very serious fear she was going to have a heart attack. In fact, they ended up going to the hospital a few days later, and it was probably because of the stress of all that. So, You know what? If you're calling up and riling up grandparents, taking advantage of people, you can just fuck yourself with a hot red iron. You know, just go over the, just get you an iron, get you a torch, heat it up, and shove it right up there, right up your ass. Because you deserve it. Really. So, back to the story. For Wayne, the motivation is simply the buzz he receives from knowing he can help someone. He says people have contacted him via his website on the verge of suicide. Yeah, if they've taken everything from him. Yeah, PSA from Pure Decking for the win, right? Yeah, that red hot poker, right up the taint. Just jam it on in there. Where was I? People say they have contact on the verge of suicide. Question remains whether over scam baiters are sufficiently equipped or best place to deal with scammers rather than the authorities. The official advice is to report any suspected offenders to Action Fraud, the UK's National Fraud and Cybercrime Center, which focuses much of its resources on prevention and raising awareness. And Wayne said scam baiters do point these people towards the official routes when they feel out of their depth. But Jill argues that they still play an important role too, as advances in technology and the fact that many scammers are overseas means it's difficult for authorities to catch them. And they reject the label vigilante. Vigilantes work outside the law, said Wayne. So, twisted humor. Wayne's setup is rudimentary. He works under various aliases, mostly named after characters from his favorite children's television show of his youth. He often makes himself seem more vulnerable and potentially gullible by pretending to have recently broken up from a partner. Debate, you do need to have something of a twisted sense of humor, he said. I kind of want to get these guys doing shows on G15. I would love a show on G15 where they're just constantly calling up these Indian scammers or answering phone calls. And what was that word you told us the other day for really pissing these guys off? I forget it now.
Patel?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
calling them Patels or rascals because apparently that'll piss them off too. or little girls, calling them little girls, because I know that pisses off a lot of them. Pretending, maybe not pretending, just being really racist to them on the phone. I found that's a good way to get off the call list when they're not computerized. It's just like, you know, you don't sound quite American to me, boy. And then just lay it in from there, just saying the absolute worst shit that comes into your mind. No filter. It's a great way to do it. I've done that one more than a couple of times. And, they'll leave you alone for several months after that, because I'm pretty sure they put you on some kind of an abuse list when you do that kind of stuff. You know?
Good times.
You know, it's like, yeah, sir, your computer has a virus. Really? Is that a fact? Which one? Oh, the one you're in front of right now. The Commodore 64. Oh, yeah, that one has a virus. Huh? Cool. I want to meet the person who wrote the virus. That's awesome. They wrote a Windows virus for Commodore 64.
You know how my computer got that virus? By fucking your mother.
By fucking the pig that fucked your mother. Anyways, that one's fun too. Accusing them of sleeping with pigs, that seems to really rile them up for some reason. Anyways, both Wayne and Jill have always wait to be approached by scammers rather than seeking them out. But they don't have to wait long. Their names are on so-called suckers lists, effectively a database of people thought easy to be conned, which is passed around by scammers online. The latest to get in touch is a man who emails Jill and says she has won the lottery in Africa. So they're going through their spam folder is what they're doing. pretending to be a husband and wife, Wayne and Jill make a joint call back and aim to waste the scammer's time by arguing about which one of them gets the money. Record these, please. I want to put together, like, you know, hour-long shows on Decking or on G15 and just play scammers. I think people would love it. I think people would absolutely love listening to these scammers get fucked with.
I'd listen to it.
I would, too. So, they often have scam baiters on standby who can be brought in to play other characters in their facade. It's like a radio play. To confuse the scammer and waste their time for as long as they can. Surprisingly, Jill considers her biggest success to be the time she received a death threat from a scammer. If you get a death threat, you know you've really wound someone up. I had one scammer driving around Madrid for a day trying to find Lynn, who had gone to Madrid. Of course, I hadn't gone to Madrid. It was in my front room. So he got so upset and said, I'm going to come and find you. I don't care what penalty for murder is in the UK. I'm going to find you. Yeah, I absolutely. When people call you up and they say, oh, yeah, you have virus on your computer and you need to give me $100. Yeah, fuck with them. screw with them. Forward them to Lenny. Oh,
I was going to send her to meatspin.com, but, you know, whatever.
Well, no, you don't know what Lenny is, do you?
No. So,
okay, hang on. I got to find it. There's a subreddit for Hey, It's Lenny. I think that's it. What was it? I think it's Hey, It's Lenny. Now I got to search for it. Anyways, somebody has set up an asterisk box with this script on it. They've got an old man who's recorded all this stuff just talking and talking. And
okay, I got
it's
it.
You found it?
Yeah.
You beat me to the link. Post it.
I just went to the subreddit, actually. There's tons of stuff on there.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Because it has the phone number on there. Oh, it's Lenny. That's it. Yes, that's why I couldn't find it. I kept trying to put the word hey in there. But, he's got a phone number on there. It's 1-347-514-7296, and it's got the SIP reference there as well. So what you do is you just forward the scam call, like, you know, it's a scam call, so you pick it up and just forward it to Lenny. And it's the script that will just sit there and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them. So I absolutely think that's an appropriate thing to do. Of course, you know, they're forwarded through your phone system, so you might get a bit of a phone bill. But you're going to waste, like, hours of their time. Well, more like 10 or 15 minutes until they get frustrated and hang up on the bot. But it's hilarious. And the subreddit, It's Lenny, has recordings on YouTube of a lot of these calls. And if you go digging through there, you'll find ones where they've talked, like, people have talked to the bot for, like, hours trying to get
some of their Hall of Fans are pretty long.
Yeah. And I don't remember the one, but my favorite one at the end, the guy doing the scamming gets so frustrated, he just starts screaming, "You have to give me $100! You have to give me money!" And of course, the bot doesn't care. It's just going. So, yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. Speaking of broken English, this website is EnglishRussia.com. And I'm not going to recommend going to it, but because the article is, like, I don't know, 5 sentences long, but it's broken up over 2 pages so they can show you all their ads.
Oh, Jesus.
But the story is funny enough. Russian airport taxi drivers brought GPS jammers to repel Uber and others. A few days ago, passengers of different Moscow airports noticed that their ride-sharing apps like Uber or Yandex Taxi stopped working near the actual airports. It turns out that local taxi operators have bought GPS jammers so that they get all the taxi orders.
GPS jammer near an airport. Nothing can go wrong with this plan.
So all arriving passengers now have to take regular cabs again. Taxi union representative says that it's perfectly legal. He said, on the contrary, Uber and others are the ones who are frauds themselves, setting prices below minimum and taking all the customers. However, many lawyers think differently. No matter you can buy a GPS jammer on the Moscow market, it's illegal to use them and even to own them. And this is already a second scandal connected with the ride-sharing app in Moscow for the last few days. A few days ago, Yandex Taxi, the most popular Russian Uber-like app, was blamed as it sets different ride prices for different phone model owners. For example, owners of more expensive iPhones get up to twice the price of inferior models. So, oh yeah, we see you're using a gold iPhone 7. Yeah, you can afford it. So I really don't recommend going to the site because it's so chock full of ads, and honestly the article might just be completely made up bullshit, but it's hilarious. I love the concept. It's like taxi drivers just running GPS jammers to keep Uber and others out of their business. That's awesome.
That is not the way you're supposed to compete in the market.
No, you're supposed to do it the traditional mafia style, you know, with guns and billy clubs and cement shoes, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Madman, you're a market expert on Russian taxis. What do you think?
A billy club to the knee of the first four people that didn't take your taxi. The rest of them will take it just to avoid the billy club to the knee.
Who wants to take the Uber taxi now?
Let me beat you to death. Anyone else Uber fan, or can I give you a ride?
Okay, next article is from Oregon Live. Ashland, Southern Oregon University lost $1.9 million in an email scheme. And this is actually more and more common these days. So if you have anything to do with running email systems for businesses that do wire transactions, think about this kind of stuff. The Mail Tribune reports university officials announced the loss Wednesday, stating the funds were intended for the contractor on the McNeil Pavilion and Student Recreation Center. But unknown suspects allegedly posed as Anderson Construction in an email, prompting officials to send payment to a bank account the contractor did not control. So what that means is they spoofed an email, saying, yeah, this is Anderson Construction. To pay us for the contract work, you need to wire it to this bank account. And that, of course, you know, that's not the real company, right? So, whoops. SOU spokesman Joe Mosley says the university wired the payment in the last week of April. The construction company reported 3 business days later that it had not received payment. Mosley couldn't share specifics for how the SOU fell prey to the fraud. The university said there's a process in place for vendors to change their bank account numbers. The FBI is investigating the scheme. So the way this fraud usually works, there's a couple of different ways that I've seen it done, and I have observed this where I work. The first and most common method is they spoof an email from somebody. They somehow figure out that there's a connection between a customer and a company. Mortgage fraud is a common one with this. Other large ticket items, large scale contractors, and market moves, large scale market moves. I've seen reports of it there, where usually the bad guys have figured out something. They've gotten into an account, or there's something ancillary connection between them and the people they're trying to defraud. Usually they get into a customer's account, and they'll go, oh, I'm a broker for such and such, and they'll spoof an email message. And so here's your wire instructions to complete this mortgage, because they'll actually get into an email account and watch for people doing these kinds of transactions, such as construction. Mortgage is a much more common one. Or businesses paying large payments to other businesses. That's another very common one, where they'll interject themselves into an email chain pretending to be the original company, trying to beat them, and send them a bank account number and wire transfer instructions. And of course, it's a wire transfer. Once that money's moved, it's gone. It's moved. It's not like a credit card where you can go cancel the transaction, right? So what these scammers will do is they'll figure out something's going on, either by getting into an account or other means, spoof an email, and send the wrong bank account, basically. And usually some unsuspecting office worker will not be paying great attention. They'll not see that the email address is not the original email address the message was coming from. Instead, it's some other email address where they've changed the name, the display name on the account, to include the original email address. That's a common one, where it'll have like the display name of the person they're spoofing, open bracket, the email address of the person they're spoofing, close bracket, and then the real email address is after that. And like, I've been at work, and I've actually had people ask me on these business-to-business transactions, why are there 2 email addresses on there? Don't do it! Stop!
It's a trap!
It's a trap! It's a trap! Might even be a chick with a dick, but it's definitely a trap. Fuck. Anyways, I am speaking from some experience here and dealing with this kind of bullshit. These guys are usually pretty good. They'll take an email from the actual source, and they'll just change the numbers and resend it, kind of thing, and spoof it. Email's really easy to spoof. So just a thought, don't do wire transactions over email. Just saying. Or at least confirm them over the phone before you do them, for God's sake. Or some other method of verifying that they're the real person you want to do business with before But yeah, so apparently this university wired $1.9 million to the wrong address.
Okay, that's just where you go Photoshop up some nice letterhead and you send them a letter with the account number in the mail.
You know, there is actually a fraud scheme where you send companies bills for bullshit, like consulting services or telecom service or, you know, some product they never ordered, and hope that their accounting people just aren't paying very good attention and pay the invoice. So, oh yeah, it happens. One of my favorite versions of that scam is they'll call up a manager for an area that has nothing to do with purchasing. Says, hey, we'll send you a sample of our great new, I don't know, machine oil for a manufacturing plant, right? And it doesn't actually matter what that manager says. They're going to send the sample, right? Like, it's going to show up on the dock. And the theory is that you're going to have people on that dock who aren't paying attention who are going to open it. And once it's opened, oh, you got to pay for it. Yeah, they didn't say free sample. They just said sample.
Yeah. Well, shit, it's like those assholes outside of Gen Con. They try to hand you something, and as soon as you take it, you owe them a dollar, and they won't take it back.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're exactly right. It's a very similar concept. So, you just got to watch out for this kind of bullshit, man. Don't trust anyone. There are no good Samaritans on the internet. They don't exist. I'm sorry. I'm probably exaggerating, but it's a good philosophy to go by. I'm sorry, but it's the only way to live. You've got to be an asshole, because otherwise you're going to get taken for a ride. Last article is from WeLiveSecurity.com. Some of the tactics used in APT attacks die hard. A good example is used by Turla's watering hole campaign. So for anybody who doesn't know the term, watering hole means using a common form of communication as a command and control channel. If you can, say, control malware by making Twitter posts or Facebook posts or other social networks such as, say, Instagram in this article, that's a watering hole attack, because it's a common enough site that if you're not blocking social media on your network for one reason or another, you're not going to think anything weird of people going there, right? You know, if you see weird connections to some Chinese IRC server, yeah, that's probably a botnet. But if you just see a whole bunch of Twitter connections, a lot of people on Twitter, that's normal, right? It's a way of hiding what you're doing inside of traffic that most people aren't going to question. Turla, which has been targeting government officials, and diplomats for years, is still using watering hole techniques to redirect potentially interesting victims to their CNC infrastructure. In fact, they have been using them since at least 2014 with very few variations in their modus operation. Operandi. Well, you know, if it works, a watering hole attack compromises websites that are likely to be visited by targets of interest. The people behind Turla then are apparently keen on targeting embassy websites. Indeed, there is a February 2017 blog post by Forcepoint highlighting some of the websites most recently compromised. Of course, they are monitoring developments of these campaigns closely, blah, 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 blah. In the initial indication of compromise sections below, there is a list of web pages that have been used to redirect to Turla watering hole CNCs in the past. As usual with the group, there are many websites directly related to embassies throughout the world. The website's visitors will be redirected to a malicious server because of a snippet inserted by the attacker appended to the original page. So they're all similar, and they've got some examples of the scripts here. You know what? Fuck reading the rest of this out. They're using a Britney Spears-based Instagram account as a command and control channel in their malware. I'm just skipping ahead. And, you know, so it's an Instagram account named Britney Spears, and it might even be her Instagram account, but they're occasionally posting comments on pictures that have random 7 characters of randomness in them, and those are their commands for their CNC channel.
Yeah, yeah, so, like you said, if it works, I mean, damn.
Do I just work at an asshole company, or do other companies think, don't let your employees be on Facebook?
You know, it's funny. I've finally gotten okay from management to start blocking some of these websites. Might be why some of the other teams don't really want to work with me anymore. But most companies block this shit because not so much for, you know, fear of malware using chat systems to spread, but they're more worried about two particular things. One, employee productivity. If they're sitting there reading Instagram or Facebook all day long, that's not a very productive use of their time. And two, there is malware that spreads to these websites, so it's a good idea to block this kind of stuff. But honestly, most corporate internet service provider agreements are not, you know, unlimited internet like a home thing. They're usually billed based on usage because they're corporate agreements. They're not home agreements, so they're not lying to you and saying, oh yeah, you have unlimited access. Because, you know, I guarantee if you're moving traffic on that unlimited access all day long, you're going to get rate limited. That's just how this shit works. They lie. You do not have unlimited access. They are lying to you. But these corporate accounts, they bill by usage. So if, you know, 50% of your bandwidth or a quarter of your bandwidth is, you know, Netflix and useless social media sites, one, you're going to question what your employees are doing all day, but two, you're going to go and start blocking that shit just because of the bandwidth bill. And but no ISP is going to think anything of that's funny, Fox. That's a radio show.
Yep.
Wait a minute. That's our radio. Damn it, Fox. Just kidding. Just kidding.
We don't even look that professional when we're all together drinking in the same room. I mean, they're wearing pants.
Yeah, they are wearing pants. They also have those microphone stands as opposed to the little cheapy Radio Shack stands.
Yeah.
What is that? That's a... is that a Zoom H4N on his mic stand there?
I don't know.
That's audio weird. Nerd. Why would you put it there? I don't know. Anyways, oh, no, that's a wireless receipt. They're using a wireless system for their boom mics. Why? Huh. Why would you do that? You know what? I don't care. Never mind. Closing the tab.
Sorry. Didn't mean to derail the show.
I've been talking about random ass stories all night. The show's not even been on a rail. So, this is kind of cool because they're using like 7 characters on random Instagram comments for a Britney Spears account. Which, one, I didn't know she was still alive. So kudos to her for still being alive. I figured she was dead somewhere. I don't know. Or doing Playboy. No, apparently she's still alive. So good for her. Still being alive and all. Great. And it's kind of interesting that they're able to get commands down into that kind of, you know, that kind of compression, right? On these Instagram accounts. But, what? Psychos just said Playboy is rated PG-13.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of the nudes, dude.
What? Really?
Yeah. They got rid of the nudes in Playboy. No one's reading the articles anymore.
How are they staying in business if that's the case? Isn't that, like, the point?
You would think so, and I thought so, but no. About a year, maybe a little more than a year ago, they decided to go SJW as fuck and got rid of the nudes.
Huh.
I mean, I guess the internet's kind of got them beat on that market, but...
That's true. I mean, you just go on the internet and... What's the website? The Big List of Porn or whatever?
Yep.
Isn't that the ones that was being peddled a while back? I was going to say by whom, but then I realized that might be kind of rude, so... Yeah. A member of the team was peddling that website a while back saying, hey guys, you should check this out. So, anyways, yeah. No, I mean, what do you do? Just punch in Google. Boobies. Oh, look.
Yeah.
Birds.
No.
No. Yo! Hadouken! So I've only got one thing for Digital Dojo tonight, and that works out. So apparently, NVIDIA's drivers have started doing the Windows 10 thing and doing the telemetry bullshit. And somebody put together a nice little program put it up open source on GitHub for disabling NVIDIA's telemetry. So, yeah, you know what? Just run Linux and use all open source drivers, because nothing is going to be free anymore. Everything is going to collect usage data, because apparently that's a thing. I don't know how that became a thing, but now it's a thing. Oh, wait, marketing people pay for it. Right.
But it's a video card. It should just make pictures on my PC for my games.
God damn it, Bobby.
Anyways, apparently NVIDIA has started including telemetry in the drivers. The article doesn't really say when, but yeah, there's a little program for turning it off, which is kind of nice. Now, it's a Windows program, so I guess you'll have to use Wine on the Linux side. Oh, that wouldn't work. Okay, I have no idea. Read the code. It's in the... It's right here. Yeah, you know, here's the code. What's this written in? CS. So C#. It's written in C#, so you can just read the code and figure out what it's doing and hopefully figure out a Linux equivalent. So, anyways, that's all I really have for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Galaxy15radio.com. We do the show live on Thursdays, approximately 9-ish. Like Swab was fond of reminding me, we almost never start on time anymore. I'm blaming the bourbon and the lack of show notes. I can't do future news because that's a copyright infringement. Madman, closing thoughts.
Alexa, tickle, tickle.
Nice. Box, closing thoughts.
Alexa, text mom. I fucked the dog. Thank you, okay, Dana. Send.
Mom, I fucked the dog. That's when you get the confused text message from your mom. When did you get a dog?
Never said it was my dog.
Said the dog.
Yeah.
We don't want to imply ownership.
Of the dog.
It's never your dog or the dog. It's just the dog.
Remember, dogs don't, you know, make noise. They vibrate. No, wait, the joke's not working there.
Well, if you get the right kind of dog.
Yeah, you get a Yorkie. Or Jack Russell. Jack Russell Terriers, they vibrate.
Yeah, or Chihuahua.
That's called shivering.
There's, I want to ship a pack of those to Alaska. I use that pack very loosely. And on the outside of the package, it seems to be labeled candy bars for eagles.
I'd watch it.
Today on Fast Animals versus Slow Animals.
Oh. Recreation of the Mexican-American War.
Oh, jeez. Alright, I'm going to close out the show. Anybody have anything before I do that?
No, I think we've said everything.
Smoke weed!
Whether it should have been said or not.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.